Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning, KSJD. Thanks for tuning in. This is another edition of The River Trip, and I am your host, Sam Carter. This is the monthly show brought to you by Dolores Riverboating Advocates. Thanks for tuning in. Our guest today is Stephanie Wessel. Stephanie will tell us about her recent trip along the largest tributary of the Amazon River, the Rio Marañon in Peru, where the construction of 21 dams is slated. First, we have some news for you. It has been 1 month since the toxic mine waste dump into the Animas River above Silverton, Colorado, grabbed the attention of people across the United States. Last week, water quality tests in the Animas River suggest that overall water quality has returned to pre-toxic spill levels, and it is being reported that the trout in the river appear safe to eat. We here at The River Trip will present you with a complete radio show on the Animas spill this fall, when the big picture around the fallout from this spill is more clear. In the state of Virginia, the Virginia Marine Resources Commission has finalized a ruling on public use of rivers flowing through private property. The commission ruled that public use of the river is legal for activities including whitewater boating. While this ruling protects the use of the river, it does not open up the private property along the river to public use. Private property is still private, and public waterways are public in the great state of Virginia. Comments on the Colorado Water Plan are due by next Thursday, September 17. This is the long-term plan for the Colorado State water use. Email your comments to cowaterplan@state.co.us, cowaterplan@state.co.us. And last, flows in the Dolores River at the town of Dolores have stabilized to between 80 and 100 CFS. And flows below McPhee Dam into the lower Dolores River have been steady at just below 80 CFS. All right, so back to our guest. We're going to talk about the Rio Marañon. Our guest today is Stephanie Wessel. Stephanie is a professional river guide working on the Colorado Plateau for oars. Stephanie is also an active member of Paddling with Purpose. She recently was part of a river trip floating the Rio Marañon in Peru. The Rio Marañon is the largest feeder stream of the Amazon River in South America, with high flows reaching just nearly 500,000 CFS, and at points sits in a canyon deeper than the Grand Canyon. The Rio Marañon has been slated to have 21 dams built along its length. Ground has been broken on one of these dams, and others are well into the planning process. The intention of Stephanie's trip along the Rio Marañon was to bring attention to the natural beauty of the river, the people who live along this river, and the purpose of these dams. Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Hey, let's start off with a big picture of this river. Would you describe the Rio Marañon, and would you pronounce it? Make sure I'm pronouncing it right, please.
Yeah, it's the Rio Marañon, and it's an amazing river. It's like you were saying, it gets up to 500,000 CFS, but we were there probably at about 5,000 CFS. We didn't actually have the actual amount, but so it acts a lot like a Western river that a lot of your listeners are familiar with. And, you know, we started out in high desert with cactuses everywhere and really cool vegetation, including Palo Verde trees, if you're familiar with those green trees in Arizona. And we finished our trip in Puerto Mayeta, which is the start of the jungle section. So, you know, we went through quite a bit of different ecosystems, but you can tell it's a huge river that brings tons of sediment down it, and at times it has a huge amount of volume, and just really stunning. It's not really a canyon in the same way that the Grand Canyon is. It's you're floating through mountains, you're floating through the Andes. Every now and then you get a big cliff wall, but for the most part you're floating through mountains.
And what is the river used for today in Peru?
Well, right now there are thousands of people that live along the upper reaches and many, probably tens of thousands more who live in the jungle area. And so the people who live along it right now use it for agriculture and fishing and for transport in the stretches that are a little bit more calm, using wooden rafts, and also there are some motorboats that transport goods up and down those calm stretches.
And so in my research and in talking with you, you've told me that there are 21 dams planned along this stretch of river. I think I read maybe 1,500 miles of river we're talking about. One of them, the construction process has begun, just barely begun. Can you tell us about these dams? Who planned these dams? What will they provide? Are they for power, water? What kind of jobs are associated? I mean, the whole picture of these dams, please.
Yeah, so in 2004, the outgoing president, President Garcia, approved the construction of up to 21 dams. So right now there are, in my recollection, about six that are in pretty advanced planning stages. You have the one in the upper reaches, I don't know its name, but it's a Portuguese company that has started some construction on it. And then you have Odebrecht. It's a Brazilian company that's the largest construction company in Latin America that is planning on building three of them, called Chadin Dos and Rio Grande 1 and 2. And then there's another one lower down called the Veracruz Dam, which would be more in the jungle section. And the purpose, from what I understand, the president was trying to approve dams on that river stretch because it has a lot of potential for hydroelectric power generation. But it seems that many of the people who most support it are wanting that hydroelectricity for big gold mines and other mineral mining, and to sell the power off to other countries besides Peru. And yeah, so that's my understanding of the dams and who approved them and for what reason, but also the sort of nefarious reasons that sort of come about. And one of the interesting things that I want to point out is that when we were actually on our river trip on July 29th, the owner of Odebrecht, that company, was formally charged with corruption and money laundering and accused of paying millions of dollars in bribes to senior officials at the state oil company Petrobras and to secure lucrative building contracts. And so he's actually been in prison in Brazil since then because of his participation in that scandal. And so it's kind of interesting that the company that is slated to build three of the biggest dams along that stretch is embroiled in that scandal.
That is quite a turn for the, not sure what kind of turn that is for this whole process. Folks out there in Radio Land, if you are just tuning in, this is The River Trip here on KSJD, and we're talking with Stephanie Wessel. She is a member of Paddling with Purpose and also a professional river guide who is working to bring attention to a series of 21 dams being built on the largest tributary of the Amazon River in Peru. So, Stephanie, you're talking about these people who are going to develop it and what they will be used for. Tell us a little bit more, if you would, about who is going to own these dams. Is it the country of Peru? Is it the people in there? Is it private companies from in that country? Or are they outside companies from outside the country?
I'm not actually totally sure, but usually the way that a lot of these dams in developing countries work is that the government eventually is ending up owning them, but usually after going through huge amounts of debt and ruining their economy in order to build it and to pay back the loans on those on those dams. And so the construction companies are the ones who get the contracts, and they always get paid. And it's the country that is responsible for paying back the loans to the different big monetary funds that are giving them those loans. And once again, the big construction companies always get their money, and it's the people of Peru who end up bearing the brunt of the cost of those dams. But ultimately, they're supposed to be under control of the Peruvian government and the Peruvian people.
And tell us a little more about the purpose of the dams. I heard you say that there's some gold mining involved, but can you tell us about the electricity that will come off these hydropower plants that associated with the dams? How will it be used in Peru, and where else in South America will it go?
So originally, the idea was to produce somewhere along lines of 10,000 megawatts of electricity from these dams. I think a story that river runners are familiar with is that the same sections of river that are so much fun for us to run are the same ones that dam builders are looking for. You're looking at narrow canyons and a steep gradient and, good runoff to produce the electricity. But the people who are sort of ultimately in favor of building those dams are not the people who live along the stretches of the river. They don't want to get moved out of their homes, but the people who benefit the most from it, and those are mainly industrial companies that are doing, mining, construction, and then also the other countries that are around the same country, and they want to have access to that power, and so they're willing to pay for it, and the Peruvian government's willing to sell that power off to places like Ecuador and Brazil. And Brazil is, one of the most powerful countries, and it is the most powerful country in Latin America, and a huge superpower in the world. And so, when you have a company like Odebrecht that controls, billions of dollars of projects around the world, but mostly in Latin America, they're going to be gunning pretty hard to have those contracts and build that dam.
Folks out there in Radio Land, if you're just tuning in, we are going to take a quick break and stay with us. We're talking with Stephanie Wessel about dams being built along the Rio Marañón in Peru, the uppermost, largest tributary of the Amazon River. We'll be right back after this break. Ladies and gentlemen in Radioland, welcome back. This is The River Trip here on KSJD. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Sam Carter. I'm on the phone with Stephanie Wessel. Stephanie is a professional river guide and also an active member of Paddling with Purpose. She, this summer, in July and August, took a great long trip on the Rio Marañón, which is the largest tributary coming out of the Andes and putting water into the Amazon. Almost 500,000 CFS comes down this river some years at high water. That's a lot of water. That's at levels of the Mississippi River. So we're going to talk more about this river and the people she encountered and the group that she's working with. Stephanie, thanks for sticking with us. Would you please tell us about Paddling with Purpose? This is the group that organized the trip. Tell us, please, about Paddling with Purpose.
Yeah, Paddling with Purpose is the sort of brainchild of an Australian man named Benjamin Webb. And he took a break from his normal life and found himself paddling. He's a big kayaker in Peru and went up to the Marañón and loved the river, but also fell in love with the people and discovered that there were these projects for dams there. And what he found was that overwhelmingly the people who lived there either had very little information that was sort of unbiased. It was all coming from the dam companies. And they were really eager to have more information about what these dams meant for them, and that overwhelmingly they were anti-dam, and against having these dams built and flood their homes. So he decided to do something about it, and something that we all sort of hope to do as river runners and river lovers is to turn our passion into something that makes a difference. And so, with that, Ben sought out Peruvian folks that were interested in rivers and in the biology of rivers and the economics and the laws surrounding dams, and in particular the dams on the Rio Marañón. So then he set up this river trip, which was 16 days in July and August, and he had such great sort of excitement and interest in the project that he ended up adding a second trip that went in May before ours. And that was they called it the training trip, and the purpose of that was to bring down Peruvians from the villages that are supposed to be inundated and teach them the skills of being a river guide, and hopefully allow them to have the skills to work in that industry, especially if the dams are defeated, and then they can build up an industry around river running and bringing people down the Rio Marañón to experience it themselves.
So this past July, July and into August, you were able to get your hands on a set of oars, row a boat down this river. Tell us about this trip. We've got lots of people on the air listening to us who love rivers, and just tell us about the trip, the boats, the people, wildlife, scenery, what it looked like, smell like, sound like.
Well, first of all, if anyone's looking for a good adventure, I definitely recommend going and checking out the Marañón and trying to do a trip down there. We rented our gear from a nonprofit called Sierra Rios, which is owned by a man named Rocky Contos, who started paddling kayaks in Mexico, and he would do these ridiculous source-to-sea descents and then realized that there was a lot of danger to those rivers from diversions and dams and that kind of thing. And so he created his nonprofit, Sierra Rios, which is now an LLC that rents boats out, mostly on the Marañón right now. He traveled south and found himself in Peru. And so he started that company so that he could start bringing people down and raise awareness about the rivers. So we rented our boats from him. He's got a storehouse there. He's designed his own boats and had them made and shipped from China. And the logistics of getting to the river are far from perfect right now, but there's definitely room for improvement and ways to make that happen. But so we were rowing little 14-foot boats with NRS frames and cataract oars, and they were really awesome little boats. And we had 16 of us to start, and we ended up with 20 folks going down the river, and that was 11 guide crew and 5 to 9 people who were unfamiliar with rivers but were really passionate about environmental issues and law issues and issues of the rights of the people who live along the river. I guess a little bit about the river itself. Again, it was high desert, cactuses everywhere in the beginning, massive, massive sediment piles. I think the only river stretch that I've been on that I could compare it to would be Desolation Canyon, which just has massive, massive debris fans coming out of the side canyons. And, I mean, these were even bigger. I mean, we were on low water, and the cobble bars were rising above our head, probably, 5 or 6 feet. Mm. And the side canyons, obviously, flash flood or have really high flows in the spring, or I guess, I don't know if it's their spring or if it's their fall. I'm confused with South America, but anyway, in our spring, they have really high flows, and that's when those side canyons are also putting in tons and tons and tons of sediment, and so it's moving so, so many nutrients down into the Amazon basin, and, so it's really a lifeblood to the largest river in the world, the Amazon. And, damming even part of it will create a huge break in that. And again, I think your listeners are probably pretty savvy about that and familiar with what's happened in the United States and the breaking off of the nutrients, and looking at the Colorado River Delta and how, cutting off the nutrients from the construction of Hoover Dam and Glen Canyon Dam has depleted that estuary, which used to be, a huge migration area for waterfall and everything else, and then the same thing is going to happen in the Amazon basin with the construction of dams on this right now free-flowing river.
So Stephanie, along this trip, I've seen some of your photos, and it was obvious that you were interacting with lots of people who were not on the trip, that the communities you were flowing through, you were meeting lots of people. We don't have a lot of time left, but tell us about these people who you're meeting and what their thoughts are around the dam, or the series of dams. And again, not a lot of time to do that, please.
Yeah. I guess my major impression of going down the river and what was so exciting about it and so different from doing trips in the Western United States is how much human activity there is there. I mean, you go down the river and you see farm fields on the craziest slopes of the Andes and all along these side creeks on the sort of highlands. And so people down there are farming everything. I mean, mangoes and bananas and avocados and papayas and coconuts. And they were so generous with their food. They would just give us like 15 pounds of papayas and here's another bushel of bananas. And they were just really, really generous. But mainly, my impression was that they are very against the dams, and at the very least, they wanted more information, because the only information that they have gotten up to this point overall has been from the dam building companies themselves, who go down there and do surveys, and they're trying to convince them to sign papers to say that it's okay that they build this dam and that they're giving them that right to inundate their land. But most of the time, they're doing that in nefarious ways. They're giving them library books and saying, sign here on this piece of paper to say that you got the library books and or just books for schools. And then that piece of paper, they actually just signed away the rights to their land. Or they actually bring in people from surrounding villages to say that they're from the town on the river itself and then sign that they're okay with the dams. And so, I mean, they're using a lot of really shady tactics, and it's really unfortunate. And so the people are just really hungry for more information and ways to actually stand up and fight against these companies and against the dams through the legal system or other ways. And, you know, they're willing to fight and fight with their lives to defeat these dams. In a lot of instances, they're not happy about it, and they feel like they've been sort of tricked.
So what can people do to learn more? Can they go to, does Paddling with Purpose have good information? Are there Facebook pages?
Yeah, Paddling with Purpose has some information. Another place to go check out is the Peruvian arm of it called Remando Juntos, which means paddling together. And then pretty soon we'll have a full-length documentary coming out about the river and our time down there. And that's being produced by a group called Real Chile, which is started by a Chilean man who actually lives in the States right now. And that documentary is titled Serpiente de Oro, which means the snake of gold or serpent of gold. Which is what an author who wrote a fairly well-known book called The Serpent of Gold about the Marañón itself. And so, yeah, that documentary will come out and give a lot more information about it as well.
Right. Stephanie, I got to cut you off there. I apologize. Folks out there in listening land, again, paddlingwithpurpose.com is a great place to start, and there are links to these videos. You can also get on YouTube and Vimeo and look up Real Marañón. And put in lots of different tags with that, and you can come up with all the different videos that Stephanie's talking about. And keep your eyes out for their movie coming out soon. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on, and we wish you the best of luck with your efforts here.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Folks out there, join us next month. We will talk with Jeff Adams of Montezuma County. Jeff has been conducting archaeological surveys along the Salmon River in Idaho for the past several years. He accesses these archaeological sites from his whitewater boat. He will tell us about this river-based archaeology and the adventures of accessing these sites. Thanks to our guest today, Stephanie Wessel. Today's show has been produced by myself, Sam Carter, with remote assistance from Tom Yoder. Thanks for tuning in, and we encourage you to go find a nice piece of river to enjoy. Take care.